I think it's a lesson that hopefully will be beneficial to all of us. And that is, this morning we want to look at the need for spiritual fitness. And I normally go through and mark the changes, knowing when to click it. And when I sat down this morning after Bible study, I realized I didn't do that. So if I flip it a little too soon or a little too late, I apologize. It's not going to run quite as smooth as I'd like, but my mind is not running quite as smooth as I'd like for it to. And it's usually pretty rough as it is. But when we look at physical fitness, and we'll see if this thing's even going to cooperate. When you look at physical fitness, it's something that we oftentimes become aware of when we lose it. It's one of the difficulties of maintaining physical fitness. We just take it for granted. Brother Ed was mentioning earlier, you know, with this new job that he's at and all the bending and everything, and you know, he's just starting to feel older. And it used to be I could take a week like last week, and I could go on just a couple of hours each night and been more than fine. But I tell you, I just could not get enough coffee this morning, and I still feel like I could drink two or three more cups. And our bodies begin to wear down, and we tend to take the physical fitness that we have for granted and neglect it. And then when illness strikes, we are least prepared to combat it. And the price for regaining good health and physical fitness can be very high indeed. But what about spiritual fitness? Do we not oftentimes look at spiritual fitness in the same way? Many people never give much thought to their spiritual fitness. As we're going to be studying Wednesday evening with the church there in Laodicea, they thought they were spiritually fit. They thought they were a good, strong congregation. And yet the Lord said, "You do not know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." And so we oftentimes don't give enough thought to that. And like physical fitness, we tend to take it for granted and neglect it. And many congregations are like this. They may have at one time been a very strong, powerful congregation working hard for the Lord, and then find later that after a period of time with no problems, they begin to become complacent. They fell in their duty to teach and to warn against false doctrine. Many churches are facing that in this day and age because, you know, in the 40s and in the 50s, much teaching was done on institutionalism and church support of orphans' homes and of various institutions of learning and various forms of activities of the church, having a dining hall and things of that nature. And these things were taught very specifically. And then the battles were done, the lines had been drawn, and these things weren't taught on anymore. And you raised up a new generation that did not know the problems with these issues. And they began to meet people at school and at work, and they go, "Well, we're all the same. We just feel that you can do this and that we do have authority for this, or that this is something that is outside of the authority, that it's in addition or it's just an aid in the things that we're supposed to be doing." And many Christians are unable to combat that, and they become weak spiritually, and the churches begin to allow liberal ideas to creep in. And spiritual illness and hardship can overtake us when we're least capable to overcome it. And the cost of regaining spiritual health can be a very high thing as well. And the biggest loss comes if we fail to regain and maintain our spiritual health, because if we are spiritually weak, we can lose our souls throughout all eternity. Over the years, soft living and failure to pay attention to the teachings and to our spiritual needs, it can begin to add up. We look at America today, and you know, it wasn't too many years ago that we realized our armed forces were at the weakest that they had ever been. That since World War II, things had been going our way, and we hadn't had the conflicts and the close of the Cold War, and we allowed our military to drip down to just nothing. And used to be we could fight wars on several fronts, and all of a sudden we were putting everything we had into a small war on one front. And the same is true with the church. Many people don't give thought to these things. And it's a good idea for a person to pause occasionally and to take stock to see exactly where he stands spiritually. We bring our physical bodies to the doctor periodically, or at least most of you do, for a checkup. If you're smart, you do. And I'm not including myself in one of those smart ones. I do know that I need to as time begins to go on. But we would do well also to check our spiritual bodies daily, not just once a year as we are told to do from time to time, but daily. Sit down and look at the Word of God and check ourselves out. And we need to run a periodic inventory and make sure that we're reaching the goals that we should be reaching spiritually. And so this morning and this evening, we want to look at some things that perhaps will help us in our search to overcome the spiritual problems that we have and to become stronger spiritually. And the first thing we want to note, and this is what you note any time that you're looking at your physical ailments or your physical bodies, is you look at what you're eating. You know, it doesn't do any good to go on these crash diets. It doesn't. It'll make you lose weight quickly, but you're going to become in worse health than you were if you just watch what you're eating. And anytime you go into an exercise program, it doesn't do any good to go to the gym every single night if you spend all night long after the gym eating a big old bag of Oreos, does it? If you don't watch what you eat along with your exercise program, your exercise is just wasted. And so when we look at nutrition, we can see that our physical bodies are wondrous examples of God's design. And I believe the human body to be one of the greatest examples of divine design. When you look at the workings of the human body and how everything works together with very little problems. And you know, you look at the intricate workings, and if we were to try to build a machine to do the same thing, would weigh tons and have just miles and miles of what would really be unnecessary wire because of the effectiveness that God has made in our nervous system. And we can see that man has been trying to create artificial life for many years, trying to create robotic life, and he just can't do it. There's just no way that mankind, in its limited knowledge, can compete with that which God has already designed. And this doesn't happen over a period of time. There's no way that evolution can bring about such a perfect individual. There are built-in mechanisms that help us take care of ourselves. You get hungry, don't you? Your stomach begins to growl when you haven't eaten like you should and lets you know, hey, I need to eat. And it lets you know when you begin to get sick or have illnesses. And it, just like the check engine light on your car, your body has these indicators that we would do well to listen to. But what do we oftentimes do? It's just like that check engine light. I had an 86 Cavalier that the check engine light was on, and I put some tape over it. Because it was over 100,000 miles. I knew why that check engine light was on. There was nothing I could do about it, and it was just annoying having it sit there. And isn't that what we do sometimes with our physical bodies? We begin to have aches, and we begin to have pains, and wives, you know how your husbands are. How easy is it to get them to go to the hospital, to go to the doctor? They just won't go a lot of times. Oh, no, it'll go away. Oh, yeah, it'll go away when you're about 6 feet under the ground. That's when it'll go away. But our bodies tell us when things are wrong. And the same is true with our spiritual side. You know, when we look at our spiritual side, we need sustenance with it as well. God makes sure that this demand is met both physically and spiritually. If you look with me in Acts chapter 14, there in verse 17, Acts 14 and verse 17 says, "And yet he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness." You know, not only is he providing for us physically, but note there at the end, it says, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. He's taking care of the spiritual side of man. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 5, there in verse 6, when he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." Those that are truly hungering and thirsting for righteousness will be filled. And the interesting thing in Matthew 5 is that the source of food there is taken for granted. It's understood that God is the one that's going to be doing the filling, as we noted there in Acts chapter 14 and verse 17. God is making sure to take care of all of mankind and all those that will seek after Him. And Christ Himself has promised us that He can fulfill our needs. If you look in John chapter 6, in John 6, there in verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." Now, if you take that passage literally, anybody out there hungry? I had a biscuit with some honey that I'd bought out at the fair, and you'd think, well, that would have covered me with the coffee that I had, but my stomach's telling me right now I'm hungry. That's not the kind of hunger that the Lord is saying He'll take care of. If you come to Him, He's the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger. He's not talking about physical hunger. He's talking about spiritual hunger. If you come to Him and partake of the bread of life that He is providing, if you follow in the paths of righteousness that He has set forth, if you'll follow in His Word and partake of His Word, you'll never find yourself hunger. You'll never find yourself thirsting, because there will always be plenty there. As you go back further in the chapter, in verse 27, He says, "Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which is the Son of Man, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on Him the Father God has set His seal." What happens when you set an apple out? Perhaps your two-year-old has taken a couple of bites out of it, and you set it out in the sun. What happens to it? Well, anybody who was there Saturday knows that it begins to turn brown. And given time, it would just eventually just melt away and just become rotten, to be worth nothing. And that's the thing with physical food. Eventually, our food will expire. I learned that firsthand from some of the roommates I had before I met Anna. They would leave food, and I oftentimes just ate out all the time. I didn't have food in the refrigerator that much. They would leave food in the refrigerator until it began to grow. And you'd open up the door, and you just waited for it to begin going, "Hey, throw me away. It's starting to get pretty bad in here," was really the way that it began to look sometimes. Food perishes. Physical food perishes. But Jesus says, "Work for the food which endures to eternal life." This doesn't get old, folks. Now, when we look at the religious world at large, they'll say, "Yeah, it doesn't apply today. It's old. It's gone bad." And that's really the attitude that they have. But the Word of God endures forever. That's what it says, right? It will never perish. It will always be there for us to provide us with what we need in our spiritual lives. Now, we understand that we can't put just anything into our physical bodies. I'm going to warn you, if you ever go to the fair, do not go with Matt. Just don't do it. Especially if he knows your weaknesses. Now, if you go to a fair, what are you supposed to have? You're supposed to have funnel cake, right? A fair just is not a fair without a funnel cake. So I splurged Friday evening and bought me and Brooklyn a funnel cake. And we enjoyed that funnel cake. And we were sitting there Saturday. And Matt had disappeared for a while. And he came walking in there and set a funnel cake in front of me. Now, I should have followed the scripture and say, "Get thee behind me, Satan." But it's a funnel cake. We know if we just put anything into our bodies, it's going to start to look a lot more like I look, isn't it? We're not going to retain our wonderful figure that we had when we first met our wives or when we were younger. We're going to begin to be fat. And if you eat those deep fried Twinkies, which honestly I did not eat, or the deep fried Oreos, I didn't have any of those either. All I had was two funnel cakes due to Matt. But when you eat all the things that are out there, it begins to have a horrible effect. We know that we can't just put anything into our physical bodies. We know if you bring junk food in, you are what you eat, right? If we ingest harmful bacteria or poison, our bodies become sick. Austin wanted to find out what rocks tasted like yesterday. And we're talking about the slag that they put out there for everybody to walk on and all the tents to be on. He came home every night black because he was playing in those rocks. And his hands going into his mouth. And, you know, the mother, being the wonderful mother that she is, was trying to get him to stop. And the father, being the horrible father that he is, says, "It ain't going to hurt him. It's just dirt. If dirt was going to hurt him, I'd have died a long time ago." But, you know, if there had been some harmful things in there, it would have hurt him, wouldn't it? And that's why God gave mothers, because they have better sense than most fathers do. But if we ingest harmful things into our bodies will become sick and we'll die. The same is true spiritually. We need to be careful what we bring in. We need to be wary of what we're feeding our spiritual bodies. We need to be sure that we're feeding on the Word of God. Too much junk food such as television and movies and recreational activities can be unhealthy. Now, it won't hurt you to have a Twinkie every now and then, will it? No. And if you just have a funnel cake once or twice a year, it's not going to kill you, is it? No. And so having some things that are a little sweet, a little fluff, you know, it's not going to be a big deal. But we have to, as we teach our children, we need to watch what we eat. And we need to make sure that we're ingesting more good foods than we are bad. My oldest sister-in-law, when my mother likes to have all the grandkids come to her house for a week after the youth camp that they all go to. And She begins taking orders a couple of weeks before, or really about a month before, saying, just tell me what you want. Anything's on the menu. And they learn rather quickly that if they ask for ice cream sandwiches for breakfast, they get ice cream sandwiches for breakfast. And my oldest sister-in-law is like, you can't feed them ice cream sandwiches for breakfast. It's not healthy. And my mother quickly replied, if you were feeding them what they need the rest of the year, ice cream sandwiches for 7 days is not going to hurt them. When I was told, I was like, can I come stay for a week? Because you never let me have ice cream sandwiches. But in all honesty, you know, these things a little bit along the way is not going to hurt you. And 1 week of ice cream sandwiches is not going to make Brooklyn become fat and sluggish. In fact, she's going to run it all off because Papa will make sure that they have plenty of things to do and digging up things and painting barns and all these kind of things. He keeps them rather active. And then, like I said, spiritually, we need to make sure that our primary sustenance is from the Word of God. And we need to understand that as we mature, our needs change. As physical babies, we need milk. And as spiritual babes, we all need to eat of the milk of the Word. And when I read this there in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, I look and see that many churches are horrible parents. Horrible. It says there in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. But what do we do with new Christians when they come forward and they're baptized? And where do we put them? Where have we put them? In the adult Bible class. Now, what would you think of Susan and Scott Swanson if they get that baby home and he's there and he's eating good and ready to... And they laid a big old fat steak down in front of him and said, now you eat that. What would you think of them as parents? Now, he might suck a little bit of the juice off of it, but there's no way he could eat that. No way he could ingest that steak. Steak is adult food, not baby food. And so we need to make sure that if we're infants in Christ, we're longing after the spiritual food, but we also need to understand that we are progressing. What happens if you drink nothing but milk all of your life? You're not going to live a very healthy life, are you? I don't care if you're just drinking 2% milk all of your life. You're still not going to live a very healthy life. Because even though it can provide you with some nutrients, it does not provide you with everything. And you cannot live off of infant formula if that's what you choose. You can't live off of that for all of your life. A mother cannot breastfeed her children all of their lives because eventually they're going to need more than even what the mother can provide them. And so we need to understand that the Spirit, you know, it knows that we need to grow, and we need to understand this as well. If you look over in Hebrews chapter 5, the author of Hebrews is having to rebuke the ones that were receiving this letter, saying, you should have grown, but you haven't. Look there in Hebrews chapter 5, there, beginning in verse 12. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. And the Spirit knows exactly who has reached a period of time where they've had ample time to grow and to become teachers. He says, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the works of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Notice the progression here. You start out with the Word of God, the milk of the Word of God. And then as you've worked upon that and you've become accustomed to these things, you've exercised yourself, then you're ready for the more difficult portions of the Word of God, the meatier portions of the Word of God. And so we need to make sure that we're feeding ourselves for the proper age that we are. For infants, let's make sure that we're feeding ourselves properly. Let's make sure as a congregation that we're taking care of those that are the infants, the babes in Christ, that they're receiving the proper food that will truly help them. Now, what else is important? Fruit. I am very thankful for our children in that they just can't get enough fruit. You can lay any kind of fruit down there in front of them. I don't know. They might not like coconut. I know I don't. But you can lay any kind of fruit down before them. Oranges, pineapples, grapes, apples, bananas, anything. They'll just eat it up. We walk through the fruit section. Brooklyn's, can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this? Can I have that? And I'm like, I may not can afford apples, but I can always afford bananas. They're the cheapest fruit there is. I can always afford a banana. But the other things you may have to wait on. But I'll buy them all the fruit that we can get, because fruit is a very important part of a good diet. It provides us with many of the vitamins and minerals that we need daily. If people would eat more fruit and vegetables as they should, the vitamin industry would go down quite a bit, because we wouldn't find that we have quite as much of a need for those things. Fruits also help us to digest our food properly and help to keep us regular, doesn't it? It's good in so many aspects. And you reckon maybe that's why the Spirit used that analogy in writing to the church there and to the churches of Galatia. If you look there in Galatians chapter 5, there in verse 22, the Apostle Paul writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." The fruit of the Spirit. These things that the Spirit provide in our life, they help us in everything. And the fruit mentioned here has a sort of two-edged meaning. One way we can look at it is to understand that these are attitudes and behaviors that the Spirit provides for us. For example, through our reading and our studying and our meditating upon the Word of God, we ingest these ideas and we begin to understand the Word of God, and it begins to come forth in our lives. You ever met a man who at one time was a very bitter individual and just very hateful with people at all times, and he learns the truth of the Word of God, and you see throughout his life as the Word of God, he studies upon it, and it begins to become more a part of his life. That hatefulness begins to dissolve and to disappear, and many, many years later, he's turned into this kind, loving, caring individual that just will do anything he can for anybody. You ever know somebody who's not growing in that way? Perhaps they're not partaking of the fruit of the Spirit of the Word of God. If we look in our own lives and see that we're not increasing in these things, in love and joy, and peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, we're missing out on something. We're not eating enough fruit from the Word of God, are we? We're not getting the vitamins, the spiritual vitamins that we need to be getting from the Word of God. We need to be having these things. It'll make us a better person. The other side is that once we study and practice these things, we will bear this fruit in our lives. And by looking at these things, the spiritual nutrition, it can give a whole new meaning to what they told us when we were in school. You are what you eat. Trash in, trash out. If you ingest nothing but things of this world, you're going to become a worldly person. There's just no way around it. And so we need to make sure that we are ingesting more of the Word of God, that we're studying upon it more than we are anything else. And so let's make sure that we're being properly nutritional spiritually. And you know, it doesn't do any good to eat properly if you don't exercise, does it? You can eat all the vegetables you need to eat. You can eat all the fruits you need to eat. You can eat in proper proportions. But without exercise, you're still going to become weak, sluggish, and fat. That's just the way of the world. Physical exercise will enable you to live better and in all probability live longer. More specifically, it will make you feel better both physically and mentally, and consequently, it will improve your capacity for work, for play, and for enjoyment of life in general. This comes from the book Physical Fitness, How to Get It and Keep It by U.S. News and World Report. We all know that physical fitness and exercise can really help us, and none of us would argue with the above statement. We understand the increasing the importance of exercise to our quality of life. You look around, and even in the malls, you're beginning to get Gold's Gyms and various different types of gyms and sales of exercise equipment. The medical field has begun to realize the importance and the necessity of helping patients that are recuperating by having them work out in various forms of rehabilitation. If they were to lie in bed throughout all the healing process, it would be much slower if it were to come at all. Why then do we ignore our spiritual needs? Why do we understand physical exercise is important? I've been on a diet. Trying. Matt does not help. I tell you, you've got to choose your friends wisely when you decide to go on a diet. You really do. He's a constant temptation, bringing cakes over the house and ice cream and things of that. I love Matt to death. Don't take it wrong here. I wouldn't trade him for anyone else. He's one of the closest friends I have, but he's a temptation, and he knows it. But I've been trying to diet, and it was obvious when I put on my pants this morning. It's doing some good. I'm having to really tighten up the belt, and I'm very happy with that, but I've got a long road ahead of me. But I told Matt, I said, you know, dieting is not really my thing. I like food. I got that from my father. I don't like as much as he does. He likes a lot of things I don't like. But I like food, and I like to eat. And so my thing is watching what I eat, but I have to make sure that I increase my exercise, because that's really what works the best for me. And we see the need for exercise, but what about in our spiritual lives? Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, there in verse 7, he says, "But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline," look at that, "is only of little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Note there, physical exercise profiteth just a little. But godliness is profitable for all things. In other words, when we look at this, we can see that the junk food of the world, the worldly fables, they don't help us at all, do they? They're not really profitable to anything. And yet we spend a lot of time looking at these things and pondering upon them and looking at the wisdom of the world and not enough in pursuing godliness. We need to be exercising ourselves into godliness. We need to have a spiritual gym in our home. We need to have spiritual exercise equipment, don't we? What happens to exercise equipment oftentimes in a home? You ever walk into somebody's house who has perhaps a treadmill? What happens? Becomes a coat rack, doesn't it? Becomes a rack to hang up clothes that haven't been put in the closet yet, or clothes that not quite ready to go in the dirty clothes yet, and you know, you just lay things on it, becomes a catch-all. Bowflex, that just gives you a lot more things to hang things on, doesn't it? It becomes a dust collector oftentimes. What about our Bibles? Are they used? Is it like the Bowflex? Is it like the treadmill? I'm so glad I don't have any of these in my home. Or y'all be all stopping over there, "Let me see what you got hanging on it." I'd be the first to tell you there would probably be something hanging on it. But what about our Bibles? You ever go up to pick up your Bible and you have to dust it off? You ever have to do that? That's just like going to your home gym and having to dust it off and clean off everything before you can use it. That shows that you haven't been using it as you should. The Word of God is there for us. The Bible talks about some spiritual exercises that we need to be engaged in. I want to talk about just one of these, and then we're going to look at the rest, Lord willing, this evening. Now, one of the best forms of exercise is that of walking. This is something I refuse to do with my mother-in-law. I love my mother-in-law. I know I don't talk like it sometimes. I don't act like it sometimes. I love my mother-in-law. I refuse to go walking with her. That woman, as short as she is, can outwalk anybody I know. It makes me think of when I was younger, going to the mall with my grandmother. All of us kids, 8, 12, 15 years old, were practically running to keep up with my grandmother. It was 60, 70 years old at the time. Walking. It's one of the most basic exercises in which we engage ourselves. It's also one of the most popular forms of exercise. It's said that just 20 minutes a day lowers the possibility of a heart attack by about 72%. 20 minutes a day, we can all do that, right? Well, in the Bible, we find over and over again instructions on how we are to walk. And we should consider these scriptures. And let's look there in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4 and look at them on a daily basis and engage in these forms of spiritual exercise. In verse 4 it says, "We too might walk in newness of life." That is, not walking in the paths that we used to walk in. Not walking in the cares of the flesh that we used to walk along in. But walking in newness of life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 7 we're told that we walk by faith, not by sight. Walking according to what the Spirit has to say. That's what we read there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Walk by the Spirit. In Ephesians 4, verse 1, we're told to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. In Ephesians chapter 5, there in verse 2, we're told to walk in love. In Ephesians chapter 5, there in verse 8, it says, walk as children of light. In verse 15, we're told, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Now, if I walk as I normally walk for physical exercise, it's not going to do much good. My dad always said I was a much better moseyer than I was a walker. And I understand a whole lot better what he's talking about now because my daughter moseys about as fast as I used to. Brooklyn, she gets it from me. I'll be the first to admit it. She's not in a hurry on much anything. And I began to see the frustration my father had with me when he'd tell me to go do something. He'd say, turn your head around so it looks like you're coming when you're going. Hurry up was what he was saying. But when we look at how the Scriptures tell us to walk, if we walk in these ways, if we follow in the things that have been set forth with the walking plan, walking in the Spirit, walking by faith, walking in a manner worthy of the calling by which we have been called, walking in love, walking as wise men, not as unwise. Let's close out our lesson by looking at 2 John there in verse 6. And this is love, that we walk according to His commandments. According to the way He wants us to walk. That we follow according to His paths with His directions. Walking in the Word of God. You remember the old, Southwestern Bell or whatever? Let your fingers do the walking. For the Yellow Pages, that's what it was. Let your fingers do the walking. You know, we need to do that with the Word of God. We need to let our fingers do the walking through the Word of God and let it show us how we're to be living. Let it give us the proper guidance. The world that we live in today is very concerned with physical health. Governor Mike Huckabee of Arkansas lost all that weight and he began to implement various physical education plans, going above and beyond what the school systems were already doing, trying to reduce the obesity of the state of Arkansas. I believe West Virginia is one of the most obese states. I don't know if that's because I moved here or if y'all already had that distinction. But Americans are obese, aren't we? And yet we're very concerned with physical fitness. But you know what? We're not near as fat physically as we are with the cares of this world. We're not in near as dire need of exercise physically as we are spiritually. Anyone present here today that feels that they are as spiritually fit as they could possibly be? Anyone? I'm going to tell you, don't raise your hand, because if you raise your hand, I'm going to tell you, you need to study some more and gain a little bit more wisdom, because you understand that you're never as spiritually fit as you need to be. We all need to be increasing. We all need to be growing. And as we noted there in Hebrews chapter 5, there comes a time where we need to be able to teach others how they can become spiritually fit and to help guide them. And if we're not there yet, then the Spirit says we're lacking and we need to be increasing. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never put on Jesus Christ through following according to His plan. If you've never come forward and confessed your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repented of your sins, and been buried in baptism, then you can't even begin. You can read the Bible all you want. It's not going to help you spiritually. It's kind of like going out and eating nothing but raw food and not cooking them and ingesting all the things that mankind likes to put on them. It's just going to do more harm than good. You've got to be obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're here and you've obeyed the gospel, but you've not remained spiritually fit. Now is the time to come forward and confess your disservice to God. And to return to Him and to set forth on the path of spiritual fitness that we together. We're going to talk this evening that when we go into exercise programs, oftentimes we want a partner. And that's what we're to be, brothers and sisters in Christ, helping one another spiritually become more fit. And so let's do what we can in increasing our spiritual fitness. If you have things in your life that need to be corrected, now's the time. We ask that you come forward now as we stand and as we sing.